Hello and thank you for joining us at the Digital Dinner Table for the Virtual Leftovers Podcast. I'm Kate Arsenal.
Dad, Jeff Ace.
And Uxter.
That was the first time I've done this without needing my cheat sheet.
Booyah!
So.
Well, welcome.
Good job.
We need to give Kate a personal applause.
Yes thank you. Much appreciated.
He needs to get up and bow.
Not doing that.
So what do we have on the table tonight,
Kate? So tonight we're talking about some... Oh, which one's Spawn? Dark Horse. Dark Horse Comics. We'll be talking about some DC Comics, some Supernatural, and some Marvel, of course.
To end it off.
Yeah. Anyways. McFarlane debuts first Spawn pages by Philip Tan, including a new character. Philip Tan joins Todd McFarlane on Spawn issue 306, which begins a new storyline that hints at a dark future for the Image Comics anti-hero. Todd McFarlane has debuted a preview pages from Spawn, issue 306, illustrated by artist Philip Tan, which depicts a new foe from McFarlane's iconic anti-hero. I told you folks I'd share some interior art pages from Spawn 306, and here they are. McFarlane tweeted along with the artwork, so many new exciting things coming for Spawn in the near future. And it appears to be some kind of werewolf-type creature.
Really?
Not sure.
Cade's the only one who can see it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to show it to Mike.
It looks like it's a form of, like, the werewolf-vampire.
A hybrid?
A hybrid.
All right. The first page depicts a new character with glowing red eyes and black spiky armor surrounding his body, guarding a young girl from what appears to be a dragon made entirely of fire. In the second image, the two sit on a rooftop, the ruins of a city stretching out before them. In the sky, the moon hangs with a massive chunk ripped right out of it. The end of Spawn issue 305 showed Spawn being enveloped by a mysterious force and warped away to parts unknown. Stands to reason that the future depicted in Tan's pages is where he ended up. And judging from the synopsis of the issue, he very well may be the cause of it. So Spawn might be the bad guy in this next one? Alright. Moving on from that is a blank screen. DC's Joker War introduces a brutal new Batman character, the Clown Hunter.
Oh my.
Batman writer James Tynion the Fourth? Tynion? T-Y-N-I-O-N. I don't know.
Okay.
James Tyrion. Tyrion, there we go. Tyrion. You're getting a Game of Thrones name now, bud.
Alright.
James Tyrion the Fourth revealed he and series artist George Jimenez. Okay, George? George Jimenez have created Clown Hunter poised to appear in the summer's Joker War.
Yeah?
Ever since the start of his run as the writer on DC's main Batman ongoing comic book series, James Tyrion IV has teased big things for the upcoming Joker War story arc and has begun to hint at a new character joining the mix, Clown Hunter. While Batman has dealt with a mysterious villain known as the Designer, the Joker has been pursuing his own deadly agenda, including introducing a new sidekick named Punchline. Ahead of this summer's Joker War, according to Tyrion, the story's second issue will debut a new lethal figure known as Clown Hunter, co-creator with artist George Jimenez. George and I just created a new character named Clown Hunter who shows up in Batman number issue 96, part 2 of Joker War. Tyrion revealed in a recent update to his newsletter, I am very, very, very excited about him, and the absolutely brutal wrench he's going to throw into the mix of the story. The prelude to Joker War begins in April's Batman issue 93 as Gotham City becomes a battleground when the Dark Knight's vast arsenal of weapons, gadgets, and vehicles fall into the wrong hands, and with the ominously named Clown Hunter likely not taking any prisoners, it will soon be hunting season in Gotham.
Really?
Elseworld in DC. What?
What does this clown hunter look like? Didn't have no picture?
No.
Oh, okay.
The closest thing to a picture they had showed Joker holding up half of a Batman mask. I don't know. Anyways. You can finally see what would have happened if a phone pole had not killed Jason Todd.
Oh,
so,
really?
I can't remember when exactly this was, but I'm sure it'll be brought up soon. Jason Todd's grim fate is one of the most infamous in superhero comics, not just for the fact the Boy Wonder got brained by Batman's most enduring foe, the Joker, or because he came back from it years later as the Red Hood, but instead because it was a death mandated by an unprecedented reader poll. And now we have a look at what could have happened if it went the other way. Polygon has a fascinating report from DC's archives at its offices in Burbank, California, that includes, for the very first time, an officially released scan of Jim Aparo and Mike DiCarlo's alternate page art for Batman issue 428, the penultimate issue of A Death in the Family, written by Jim Starlin, and one of the most iconic Batman stories of all time, saw the reveal that after an intense September day of call-ins from fans, readers had decided Jason Todd would perish at the Joker's hands, or, well, really theirs. Inspired by then-recent phone polling technology, DC's editorial team wanted to create a chance for readers to directly influence a major storyline in its comics. And with fans divided by the rough and ready Jason, a distinctly different take on Robin compared to Dick Grayson, putting him in the sights of the Clown Prince of Crime was an ideal opportunity after laying out the rules to readers in the back of preceding issues on September 15 and 16, 1988. Readers could call in to one of two special 1-900 numbers. One would cast a vote to spare Jason's life, and the other would condemn him to death. And basically, all that changes is kind of Batman gets there in time to pull him out of the fire, out of the explosion. Well, not out of the explosion, but out of the fire. He gets there after it exploded.
Yeah, I don't know.
Basically, it shows Batman picking up Jason Todd and says, "He's alive, thank God." But the boy's badly hurt. Have to get him to a hospital fast. No time to change his clothes. We'll have to lose the costume and carry him to the hospital all wrapped in a blanket. Even at a time like this, I think about protecting that secret identity. So, what are your thoughts on the, if Jason Todd lived? I would have hated that story because, you know what? We would not have gotten Red Hood. Mm-hmm. I don't think we would.
Yeah, it's
the Red Hood was the deciding moment. Maybe we could have gotten something where slowly there became a rift between Batman and Robin, and then he became the Red Hood, whatever Batman
but
wouldn't.
But he would have been a different Red Hood then, too.
He would have. It would have definitely been. He wouldn't have been.
He wouldn't have been
by
that,
the Lazarus
Pit. Yeah, he wouldn't have been crazy and. Well, not crazy, but he wouldn't have had that
drive.
I think
he would have had a more intimidating Red Hood. More methodical, more thought out. Like, he was good. He was
more planned out.
Like, he was always
planned
out.
He wouldn't have had that thought of, like, Joker, Batman choosed.
He wouldn't have had quite the bloodlust he had, but it would have been more. I think he still would have been okay with killing whatever he wanted, but it would have been more focused on, instead of just killing anybody that tried to stop him, you know,
yeah.
It would have been more reserved for the people that actually definitely 100% deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
The big villains.
Yeah.
But, so I think that could have been interesting if we had gotten the chance to go through
that. Batman doesn't want him.
Yeah.
And I think that very well probably would have been what led to him becoming Red Hood if they decided to save him.
Robin doing what needed to actually be done rather than putting him in jail and letting him get
out.
He's
angry at Batman for never killing him because he killed him, but I think he still would have been angry, but it would have been more internalized anger if he had not died.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would just slowly built up until he finally...
Break.
Blew
broke,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in DC, the TV series universe, Supernatural is crossing over with Legends Tomorrow via car. Now, not a lot, like, half the people at this table don't really watch Supernatural, so 2/3 of the people at this table don't really watch Supernatural. I watch it constantly.
I mean, I watch it here and there.
You watch it here and there, and I don't think he watches it at all.
No.
So
I'll probably start it back
but,
up.
Not the way I watch it, but to me, this is huge. I love it. Like, no, Sam and Dean aren't going to show up, but they're fucking Impala is. I can't wait to see that Impala in that show. But,
really?
Yeah, no, it's just kind of more like an Easter egg, mostly, than
not anything like, else. Not like the Constantine Lucifer.
Yeah, not like Constantine Lucifer. It's more just, you know, the Impala.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh! Oh, okay. I'm reading the article now. It's so they're actually in British Columbia. They're behind the scenes of an episode of Supernatural. It's like there's an episode in Supernatural where they come into the real world, and they're still Sam and Dean, but they're experiencing the lives of Jensen and Jared, the two main actors of Supernatural. And basically, this is what they're doing with Legends of Tomorrow, where the characters are going to the real world version. They're going to the set of Supernatural.
Yeah.
Does that mean Dean and Sam are looking around in the background solving Supernatural mysteries? Yes, but not in the way you might think. The crossover takes place behind the scenes of filming an episode of Supernatural. That's right. It's in the world of the Legends, the Flash, and Supergirl are real, but Supernatural is just a television show. So yeah, I love that. It's like, you know, it's Supernatural without being Supernatural. That's great. Perfect. But I just wanted to bring that little in, just tidbit in, you know, mainly to lead into the next story, which is Supernatural cast makes emergency landing after plane engine explodes. Everyone on board safe.
Well, that's good.
Hello to whoever just joined.
Yep, hello again. I'm going to try and get this all leveled up so, you know, you can actually see the place. But let's see. Jensen Ackles, one of the main, the actor who played Dean Winchester in the show, has stated that he's never flying in a plane again.
Oh, fun. I wouldn't believe that. I wouldn't want to either.
Misha Collins said that they had a plane problem last night and had to turn around, but they were all fine. Everything was okay. And then, where is he? Richard Spade, was being sarcastic and telling people that, that there was going to be some internal conflict between the cast members because the actor who owned the plane, Jared Padalecki, was not on the plane that night.
Oh.
So, you know, very suspicious circumstances.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's perfect. You know. It's cool. And yeah, I would not fly in a plane after that either.
No, I don't think I would want to either. That seems.
But I am glad.
Although, I gotta say, it's eerily familiar. Because it's now been. We're now in the final season, but in the first season of Supernatural, one of the first adventures they went on was in a crashing plane. That's just. That's cool too.
Not creepy at all.
Not at all.
Doing a complete 180 off of Supernatural in DC, we're going on to Marvel. I'm going to butcher this name, but Roberto Orci to write an untitled Sony Marvel Universe film. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 co-writer Roberto Orci has been tapped in to write an as-yet-untitled Marvel film for Sony. The rep has exclusively learned details about the project or which specific Marvel character will be used are currently being kept under wraps. The Orci project would be a part of the Sony Marvel Universe, which is not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but does include Marvel Comics properties such as Nightwatch, Silk, Venom, Silver and Black, and Morbius the Living Vampire. While initial indications were that the character would be related to other Sony Marvel films like Venom, that are connected to Spider-Man. An individual with knowledge tells the rap the property comes from a different corner of the Marvel Universe that Sony has access to. Which I don't know anybody that would
want to do that.
Anyways, Andy Serkis is currently directing the sequel to Venom. Ruben Fleischer directed the first Venom, which was a box office smash hit with grossed $856 million worldwide during its 2018 theatrical release, and starred Tom Hardy as the symbiote. The actor will reprise as, well, he didn't star as a symbiote, he starred as...
You know, the host for a symbiote.
Yeah. That's the actor who reprised his role in the sequel, as well as Woody Harrelson starring as Carnage. And he's not really starring as Carnage. There's a different voice actor for Carnage. But.
Really?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Why?
Well, because I'm pretty sure Venom had a different voice actor, too.
Yeah. So, okay. I think he had the original voice from.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, the cartoon.
Oh. Really?
Sounded like it.
Kelly Marcel,
if not
one of the screenwriters of the first film, wrote the script for the sequel. Orchy blockbuster credits include two Transformers installments, Paramount Star Trek films, and Mission Impossible 3. On the small screen, Orchy is an Emmy-winning TV writer, producer, who co-created Fox's Fringe, Sleepy Hollow, Matador, and Hawaii Five-0. So the only thing I'm getting from that is Orchy needs to stay the fuck away from movies, focus on TV shows, because he makes great TV shows. He makes great TV shows, but not the best movies. Not
movies, no.
Because pretty much everyone that is listed in that is just, yeah. No.
Not well.
But, you know, so far, Sony's movies have been good for the Marvel franchise.
Yeah.
These newest ones. Next up, we've got Liam Hemsworth to join his brother Chris Hemsworth in the MCU. Chris Hemsworth has played the God of Thunder since first appearing in 2011's Thor. Since his early days, the character has transformed drastically, transitioning from Kenneth Branagh's Shakespearean vibe through Alan Taylor's misguided approach and finally landing on Taika Waititi's comedic and bombastic lean, aligning from more seemingly with other Marvel Cinematic Universe installments. While Chris Hemsworth has embodied the God of Thunder, he's lucky his brother didn't snag the role, as both actors were once reportedly on the studio's radar. However, Liam Hemsworth is back on Marvel's radar, and he may be joining his older brother in the most successful superhero landscape. Liam Hemsworth may appear in Thor: Love and Thunder. According to We Got This Covered, The Hunger Games and The Last Song star Liam Hemsworth is being eyed for Beta Ray Bill.
No, don't do it. Please don't do it. Guys.
Why? Why is that even a thought? Like, you know, I can deal with Christian Bale. I can deal with a lot, but not Liam Hemsworth.
I can easily deal with Christian Bale being...
Oh, hold on. They have an answer. CheatSheet.com has an answer to why Beta Ray Bill... Who is Beta Ray Bill and why does casting Liam Hemsworth for the MCU role in Thor Love and Thunder make sense?
Oh, really?
All right, let's see this. Once during a battle...
At least we don't have to see his face.
Quite a fortuitous one for Banner and Bill. Thor was separated from his hammer, spotting the hammer during the battle. Bill decided he could try to lift Mjolnir, and the hammer deemed him worthy. Odin decided that Thor and Banner and Bill would battle to the death to determine one individual who would wield Mjolnir, a story unlikely to come to fruition given the MCU's present timeline. While Banner and Bill won the battle, he refused to kill Thor, and Stormbreaker was created for his use. In later comics, Bill goes on to help Asgardians as well as his own people after fighting side by side with Thor.
What are they going to name his hammer?
Stormbreaker.
No.
It's just going to be gold.
Stormbringer?
Storm.
Well, this exact story will likely
not hit the screen.
The eventual partnership between the two seems bound to come forward, which would be a perfect way to cast...
Sorry.
Which would be a perfect way to cast two industry brothers in the same movie. A little nod to the relationship off the screen, fans would enjoy seeing the two battle on screen together, likely right before Chris Hemsworth bids the MCU farewell and passes the hammer on Natalie Portman's Jane Foster. And so that didn't say why it would be good to cast it. What? The whole thing...
Johnny Depp is supposed to be Joker in the Batman.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Anyways. So I love that they said, you know, and why does casting Liam Hemsworth for the MCU make sense? But it doesn't actually explain. It doesn't give an answer. So that's great. Alright. I can't stand that.
Okay.
That's... No. 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 No.
But they're brothers. No. They moved my head. It's perfect. It'll be like real life.
Could be worse.
How?
She could become the Goddess of Thunder and fall in love with a guy that looks like her ex.
All right.
Let's see. He's human.
All right. Moving on from that, we have a how well do you remember the first Avengers movie quiz? Thanks, BuzzFeed. Alright, so let's see what the first line of the movie is.
Oh.
Now we can do this with blindly no answers given to at least two of us. Or I can read the answers out too if you would prefer. Please.
Yes, please. Dead Trinities prefer answers.
What's the first line of the movie? The Tesseract has awakened? How bad is it, sir? What's the problem? Or the Tesseract is ready?
B.
I'm probably going to go with two.
How bad is it, sir?
How bad is it?
Wrong. The Tesseract is ready. All right.
Damn
it. Yeah, I blame myself.
Yeah, we suck. It's okay.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry. The Tesseract is awakened.
Awake.
That was said by the other. Who is the first recognizable character we see the face of?
Oh. Answers.
Nick Fury, Loki, Tony Stark, Agent Coulson, Maria L., or Pepper Potts? I mean, I feel like this is...
Maria.
Nick.
Are we sure?
I feel Nick.
All right, I'll be the deciding vote. I think it was Nick, too. Oh, we were all wrong, still. It was Coulson.
Mm.
We don't remember this movie.
Oh, Coulson! Oh!
Which is the first Avenger? Which is the first Avenger we see?
I think that's Nerd. Oh, okay.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Yeah,
Hawkeye.
Yeah, that one we finally got one right. Mm-hmm. See, once we start talking about the actual superheroes and not like line or you know the side character was shown. What is Steve doing when we see him?
Punching the bag.
I was gonna say boxing, running. Looking at old photos or listening to the radio.
Boxing.
Could have sworn boxing was... Oh, yeah, maybe.
Boom. All
right.
Boom.
Yep, correct. Alright. When Steve's... Alright, by the way, you don't have to jump in with the answer.
Sorry.
Calm down. It's not that exciting.
Do I have to raise my hand, boss?
No, but, you know.
Okay, boss.
When Steve says nothing will surprise him, how much does Fury bet him he's wrong? $5, $10, $20, or
$50?
$50. $20.
See, five. I think it was $10.
$5.
So, we have to agree on something here.
Okay.
So, you say $50, he says $5, well, me in the middle, I go $10.
You just want $10.
It's because I was right.
Was it $10?
Yes. $10 says you're wrong. Okay. How much credit does Tony think Pepper deserves for the Stark Industries Tower? I'm not even going to read the answers because you should know this. No, that's not what Tony said.
Oh, no, 50%.
No. I'm very disappointed in you guys now. you'll note as soon as I read the answers.
Please.
12%, 50%, 97%, or 22%?
22%.
See, I'm going to put 22% because you both agreed on that, but you're wrong.
No, it's 12%.
It is 12%. Oh. Because he says, you deserve 12% of the credit.
Yeah.
Whenever he's trying to be all sweet. Or give yourself 12% of the credit.
At least.
What is Coulson's first name? Bill, Will, Phil, or Dill?
Agent.
His first name is Agent.
First name is Agent.
I would... They should have put that as one of the answers. Yeah, Phil, that's so disappointing they didn't. Yeah.
Either Phil or Agent will work, really.
Phil? His first name is Agent.
Agent.
What is the first reference Steve doesn't get? Oprah, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, or Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking?
No, I think it was Steve Jobs, because I think someone described Tony as Steve Jobs type.
Maybe.
I think. You would have been right. It was Stephen Hawking.
It was Stephen Hawking. For once. For once.
Yeah, he was talking about Bruce Banner. Why does it keep zooming in like that?
Because Raiders.
Thanks, Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Never have 5 minutes without peace.
What's the name of Loki's army? The Outsiders, the Chitauri, the Black Order, or the Skrull?
Chitauri.
We would know if it was Skrulls, okay?
Would we?
No one knew what a Skrull was until...
I mean, if they were in disguise, no. No, we wouldn't. I mean, mine could be a Skrull. We don't know.
You don't know.
They call us lizard people. Okay.
I feel like...
Lizard
people. Okay,
let me call Captain Picard. No, not Picard. Kirk.
I feel like we definitely know Mike is not a Skrull.
Okay, continue.
All right. Moving on from that, how many minutes into the movie is it before Thor shows up?
What?
How many minutes into the movie?
I'm going to guess 45.
You want to take a wild stab in the dark?
No, I don't. I want to hear the answer.
44, 13, 43.
43. That's where 52. I'm going. 43. That's where I'm going.
Let's go A.
24?
Yeah.
All right. There's no halfway between there, so I guess we're going to go with the one I feel like is more possible. Wow. I was not thinking 43 minutes. That is really late into the movie for him to show up.
And 45. I just guessed 45.
That was...
That's good.
Not bad.
That's crazy.
Wow. I got pat myself on the back.
Hold on. The random little comment that people wrote on the answer. I wasn't truly watching until Thor came in, to be honest. You were not truly watching the entirety of the fucking movie before Thor?
They were just on their phone in the movie theater.
43 minutes of the movie, you weren't paying attention? Great. What band is on Tony's t-shirt for the majority of the movie?
Led Zeppelin?
AC/DC, Duran Duran, Black Sabbath, or Aerosmith?
Black Sabbath.
Was it Black Sabbath? Alright, I guess we're... Yeah, alright, perfect. So I couldn't think if it was the Black Sabbath or if it was the AC/DC. Yeah, it was Black Sabbath.
Think of his song.
Was that Black Sabbath? I guess where it was AC/DC.
No, AC/DC did Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't Black Sabbath.
There's really Iron Man and War Machine.
I think he wore an AC/DC shirt in the movie that it first showed up in.
Probably in one of his movies.
Probably. Which character is sent to get info from Loki? Natasha, Thor, Coulson, or Steve?
Run that back to the end, sorry.
Which character is sent to get info out of Loki?
Oh, Natasha. Sorry, I was on the phone.
Yeah. The Avengers discover S.H.I.E.L.D. is using the Tesseract to create weapons of mass destruction. Fury says it's because of the events of which prior MCU film? Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, the First Avenger, or Thor?
Thor.
Would it be Thor?
Yeah.
Would it have to be Thor?
Yeah.
The Destroyer.
Yeah.
Who gives the order to close the wormhole? Steve, Thor, Fury, or Natasha?
Fury.
Natasha?
I think...
Are we all just guessing different ones?
No, I'm halfway between your guys' two, but...
Was Steve an option?
I don't think it was Steve that said to close the wormhole. But...
Then I'm just going to say Fury still, then.
I'm trying to decide which one I agree with. Natasha or Fury.
Hey, hey. I've been weirdly right.
I don't think Fury was...
Have been weirdly right.
That is true. He's gotten two right that we...
Weirdly did. Right. Did I get cocky?
Yeah, you got cocky. And we were both wrong. And actually, you know what? He was right, but wrong.
Steve.
He asked if Steve was an option. Steve gave the order, I guess, which I did not think it.
I should have went with my second option, I guess.
Who catches Tony when he falls from the wormhole? Bruce, Thor, Steve, or Clint?
None of those. It was the Hulk.
Exactly. But we're just going to say Bruce because this is the only option.
Yeah.
None of him. He wasn't there yet.
Thor goes to grab him, but Bruce, as the Hulk, gets to him first. Stan Lee gives a cameo as someone being interviewed on the news about the attack. What does he say? Does he say, "I don't exactly feel safe with those freaks out there"? Where are these guys now? It's just really great knowing they're out there. Or superheroes in New York? Give me a break.
Superheroes in New York. Give me a break.
Yep. What's the latest line in the movie? What is the last line of the movie, not including post-credit scenes?
Oh, fuck.
They'll come back. Was that the point of this? Of all of this? A statement? A promise? Every world knows it because we'll need them to.
Because we need them to? Because
we'll need them to.
Or they'll come back.
Nope, because we'll need them to.
Okay.
Kind of a weak answer to Maria asking how he knows the Avengers will come back if he needs them.
Because
we'll that's need them to. How do you know they'll come back if we need them to? Because we'll need them to. Them to. Great theory. Wonderful job.
Hey, he put the whole thing together, okay? It's his theory.
Yeah, that is true.
Which villain do we meet in the post-credit scene?
Thanos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting. What? There was no reason to...
Yeah, we didn't even need answers for that one.
Yeah, we're pretty good. We're
okay.
13 out of 18.
Mind you, we've had a whole lot of fucking movies.
That is very true. There's been a lot.
Is there any other movies?
There's a whole lot of information you have to go sorting through.
I'll scroll through and see.
And some of that information was just like little itty-bitty things, which is bullshit. Like seriously, the time, first time you see Thor, that is ridiculous.
Easy, bud.
Oops. I'm just knocking shit around. It's whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that appears to be all we got, because I can't find another quiz for us to do, and nobody's watching the live stream anyways.
Oh, well.
So, thanks for anybody that joined us. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Might do this again, probably with a different game, because there's not really much going on in this game. More or less, I just wanted you guys to listen more than anything.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes next Thursday. So, once again, thank you for watching or listening. And we will see you guys next time.
Absolutely.
If I can shut this up. Stop.
Stop, Rob.